Good morning to you. 90-333-105. I want to speak to Jamie DeLargy, who's on this line. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Frank.
Jamie, if we look at the papers this morning and listen to all the conversation late yesterday about the advice given by the British government in a no-deal Brexit scenario, I think we'd probably break down in tears. But it's only if. It's a big if. If. Surely we will get a deal. We couldn't allow ourselves to get into this situation, could we?
Well, we could. I mean, I think that no-deal Brexit was given very little probability maybe even a year ago. But now, since there isn't any arrangement in place and there looks to be real difficulties in getting some arrangement, some deal, it is quite possible that next March we could tumble out of the EU without a deal. And I know that people feel that this Brexit, the whole Brexit scenario, is a complete and utter bore. But you know what? If we tumble out of the EU without a deal, I'd say there's a lot of people who think Brexit couldn't be... I'm just so fed up with any talk about it. They'll be wondering why they didn't take more of an interest in it, because it will be a disaster.
Well, 24 suggestions yesterday and another 80 papers to come on worst case scenario. People talking about the removal of the EU ban on credit and debit card surcharges. UK citizens living in Europe facing the possibility of losing access to their pension. Consumers would face another potential cost increase with online shopping. There's a long list, but I suppose the one that really irked a lot of people here, companies exporting across the Irish border should consider whether you will need advice from the Republic's government about preparations you need to make. That sounds a bit like passing the buck.
It isn't. And I mean, it was astonishing that Dominic Raab was saying that. I mean, that you would actually, companies here would need to take advice from Dublin. But, you know, that could turn out very well to be the reality, because do you see what? Do you see those technical papers? I read the one on trade there, and it is, I'm not saying it's gobbledygook. To somebody who understands it, it all makes perfect sense to someone versed in this stuff. But you see the average small company which currently sells stuff from down into Dublin from Belfast or other parts of Northern Ireland and doesn't really think of themselves as a huge exporter. You know, it's just going down the road in a truck. They will have to get to grips with what was in that trade paper. And I'm telling you, it's unintelligible. I don't want to read an excerpt from it, but I was trying to make sense of it just before we started to speak here. And it is like, you know, technical gobbledygook. And they've got 80 papers to go through and try and make sense and try and help themselves as they carry out their business. You know, companies will be floundering even to make sense of a no-deal Brexit. But and here's another wee thought. You know, we have said, and it has been said by the Dublin government and sort of backed up by the EU, that without a backstop in place, without the protection of a free flow of a trade after Brexit across the border, there'll be no deal. But the reverse holds true. Without a deal, there's no backstop. We will have one of the hardest borders in Europe if there isn't a deal. We will face all the restrictions that that people would say face, doing business between the EU and Russia, say. In fact, one expert was talking about it. They actually have some rules in place when you're trading with Russia. We will have no rules in place. We will just default to these WTO regulations, which are really going to be fairly challenging for people.
However, chances are, Jamie, we will get a deal and there will be the pluses. It's not that long ago Sir Geoffrey Donaldson was on this programme. He listed the pluses of getting a deal and leaving the European Union. We could be in a very healthy place. This is worst case scenario. This is the government making sure that they've highlighted that they're aware that steps have to be taken if there's no deal. But, you know, we're sitting reading this absolutely believing that even at the last minute they'll get a deal, because nobody except the most hardcore Brexiteers who do believe in Brexit at all costs. But, you know, most people who've voted for Brexit believe there would be a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was an assumption that we would get some sort of arrangement, some sort of free trade deal. And I suspect that that still is the most likely outcome. But the no-deal Brexit is a realistic possibility. And, I mean, yeah, and it is true that I do believe that in the long run, if it turned out that we didn't have a deal and we just crashed out, that eventually things would turn around and indeed we might end up, it's conceivable we'd end up better than we were, where we currently are. And but you know, when you hear people who are in favour of Brexit talking about the advantages, you know, some of it is like some of it's sort of almost laughable. There was a guy on last night, I think it was on TV, talking about, well, there'd be a reduced tariff on oranges. We would get cheaper oranges. Well, bully for that, you know. And there would indeed be, and to be serious, there would, and to be fair to this guy, there would be reduced tariffs on food coming in to the UK from other parts of the world. So there would be savings for a lot of consumers on especially on food. Wouldn't do our farming industry much good because it. Beef and lamb and other produce would be coming in, which would undercut them. But it really would be good value for consumers. At the same time, it will be horrendously a nightmare for people who are trying to do exports. And as I say, people who are just simply sending stuff across the border don't even think of themselves as exports would face all these problems. But I think you could go back to your point. I think that. By and large, the prospect of a no-deal Brexit is so horrendous, and it's not good for the EU either. Like, let's face it.
It reminds me, however, it's not going to suit them either, but it's going to suit us less. It's going to suit Britain less than it'll suit than the disadvantage it'll be to the EU. It reminds me, Jamie, to some extent, of the millennium. Remember the talk about the computers would all crash and the aeroplanes would fall out of the sky and everything was seamless and smooth. Might we be sitting here in 18 months' time saying, what was all that about? We're in control now. That was the best move we ever made.
But, you know, in line with that thinking, I mean, some people have said, but you know what, if we tumble out without a deal, you know, the EU won't erect barriers, say, between North and South. And, of course, we don't have to erect barriers. We don't have to have any sort of controls north of the border to, say, to check on goods coming from the South. You know, so it'll be up to them. So we won't put up any barriers for goods coming from the South. And that will embarrass them into not having checks on goods going from north to south. That isn't, and that's been touted by some hardline Brexiteers. That isn't the case. The EU, the South, if it was a no-deal Brexit, the South would be forced to check goods coming from Northern Ireland, as it would be forced to check goods coming from Argentina. And likewise, we will have to check goods coming from the South, even if we're not in the EU, and for different reasons, because, and not get too technical, but we would be defaulting to these WTO rules, and we in Northern Ireland couldn't treat the South any differently from any other country. So we currently would check stuff coming in from, say, Bolivia or Uzbekistan. In the same way, we would have to treat the South exactly the same. So if we've checks on Bolivian goods coming in, we'll have to check goods coming in from the South. So there isn't any possibility of there not being checks on both sides of the border. That's a sort of fantasy that some Brexiteers have, that, you know, that we won't have the barriers and then they'll be embarrassed into not having the barriers and goods will continue to flow north and south quite freely. But
are you realistically suggesting that going from Strabane to Lifford, it could be as bad as the time of the Troubles when the Camel's Hump checkpoint was there and you couldn't get across for security reasons and it took you forever? Do you think customs men and customs women are going to be on the bridge between Donegal and Tyrone there?
I think because things have moved on technically, there wouldn't be the same level of checks that there would have been. And of course, that was a lot of, there were security and issues involved there, which I don't think would be the same today. No, I don't necessarily think there would be uniformed people standing on the border, holding up their hands, stopping every car. But it's not the movement of people; it's goods they're talking about. The average Joe going up and down in a car or in a bus or a train, north or south, is not going to face any real difficulties. It's some poor punter who's trying to do business across the border. They're the ones that are going to face extra costs, extra bureaucracy, just really all the hassles that they really do not need as they have to cope with everything else in life. So that's the issue. And it is a realistic possibility. And indeed, to some extent, I believe that the government, by putting out all these papers, is trying to, if you like, frighten people. I mean, they're right to do it, but they are. I mean, there's a solid argument by these scare tactics. But in effect, they're also, as well as warning people generally, look, this could be the case. They're saying to them, if we don't get a deal, if you, in other words, you the public, say we won't accept the deal that they hope to arrange with the EU, which hasn't actually happened yet. But if you don't do that, we're going to end up with a no-deal Brexit, which we're now explaining to you will be a nightmare. And in that way, I think that Theresa May is preparing the ground so that whatever she comes back from Brussels with, because she will come back with something, if people say, oh, that's not good enough, we don't want that on either side, you know, Remainers or Brexiteers, she's going to say, aye, well, I'll tell you what, it's too late to do anything about it. It's either this or a no deal. Now, we told you last year in 2018 what it would be like. Here in 2019, we have no option but to accept this. Now, what do you think? And so in that way, I think if they do come back with something, even if people think it's completely deficient on both sides of the argument, it will be accepted because the alternative will be so awful.
Okay, just one final point very briefly, Jamie. A lot of people keep remarking about this on text and whatever, because it is an ongoing debate. Whatever is agreed or not agreed, should there be another referendum on it?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I just think it's so profoundly anti-democratic. People voted to come out of the EU. We all knew what it meant.
Did people really know?
Well, they knew that they didn't know all the implications, but they knew that it would mean us being out, doing our own thing. And now for somebody to say, oh, I tell you what, let's keep running this referendum game until we get the right result, unless we remain. And like I'm speaking as a profound remainer. You know, it would be so totally anti-democratic. We're out. We've just got to make the best of it. And then if maybe 5 or 10 years we realise what a disaster, we can vote to go back in again. But we're out now.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much indeed. Lots of you talk about this idea of a second referendum, including Robert, who I think wants one. Go ahead, Robert.
Good morning, Frank. This is the way I nail it. Is your family better around the table eating their dinner together or not together? The European Union is one big family. Now, my line is, it's not too late for the people to have another referendum. Now, truthfully and honestly, if you follow the picture properly about the Brexiteers, Nigel Farage was the main architect of Brexit. And he, truthfully and honestly, I think he's led people up a dark alley. And I honestly believe if I have another referendum, the majority of people around the UK will vote to remain in the European Union. The majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union. The majority of people in Scotland voted to remain in the European Union. Truthfully and honestly, once again, Nigel Farage is a fast talking individual who influenced a lot of people into Brexit. Now the Brexiteers realise a big mistake has been made, and I honestly believe a lot of Brexiteers, it's not too late to call another people's referendum. The majority of people will vote to remain in the European Union.
Robert, thank you. You're going to be objecting to Jamie's suggestion that democracy is democracy and there shouldn't be a second referendum. But you're not on your own, Robert. Lots of people have been suggesting that. Thank you. Thank you to Jamie as well. Coming up on 25 past 10. Good morning. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Easing our way, as we always say, through the day. 90-333-105 077-66-105-105. David has a point. Good morning, David.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. How are you today?
I'm very well. David, what's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the conversation about Jamie saying about democracy and you were saying that it's a democratic vote. I presume that Brexit, from what I remember, was it was like taking a consensus. It wasn't taking an actual vote to see what the people thought at that time, whether it'd be a good idea to leave the EU. So it wasn't an actual vote. And what I'm trying to get my head around is, if it was just a referendum to see what way we would feel, then why, whenever it's a final deal that's going to be on the table, why are they not permitting the people to vote?
So are you basing this on the fact that, but are you basing this on the understanding that referendums are not legally binding, so legally a government can actually ignore a result?
No, what I'm trying to say to you is this. It was not taken down as an actual vote to leave the EU. It was taken down as a referendum to see what the feeling was within the UK at that time. And what everybody's forgetting is there were certain issues and certain statements made that led people to go into the Brexit scenario where they thought it was the best thing to do because they were going to get X, Y, and Z. And even the people who did it have now admitted that some of those proposals were wrong. Now, and given that as being the situation, it would be like if you're selling somebody a product, it would be a missell, so it would be null and valid. So why are they afraid to bring out the proper scenario where people can sit down and listen and actually say, now, we'll take a vote and we'll take what actually is on the table? Why are the government so afraid? Are they so afraid of the fact that it's going to cost money to do a referendum? Surely it would be a lot more, there would be a lot more economic problems by leaving it, by paying the divorce bill, as what it would to have a vote.
So you would like to see people back in the polling stations, another chance to, as you say, vote. Some people would say to express an opinion, but you would certainly like another say on it.
Yes, but Frank, you have to remember, there wasn't a vote in the first place. It was a referendum to take a poll, if you want to, of what the people thought in the different regions. And the biggest fact of it is, and this is what's going to be, I would love them to be able to give an answer to this, and I don't think they'll come on the programme. I don't know if they have been on it. But the party over here, the DUP, who was behind the Brexit, are they going to be pleased now but Dominic Raab said yesterday that all businesses here will have to talk to Dublin? So is Dublin going to control what we do? So if they're so against Dublin having a part and parcel in government running, they're going to have a very big say in how the economy runs in Northern Ireland. So have they discussed that with their government, with the Conservative government, to see what their answer to that reply is going to be?
I think the DUP would argue that there will be a deal. We're not going to crash out. This is only worst-case scenario crashing out that the Raab has made the suggestion, Frank, about liaising with the southern government.
Yes, but that's the thing. It's the DUP said that's only the worst-case scenario because nobody's been given the chance to vote on it. So are we going to go ahead and do whatever everybody asks us to do without having a vote?
Okay, your definition of a vote, other people's definition of a vote, of course, would be different. In fairness, referendums are not legally binding, so legally the government can actually ignore the results. When you were voting, did you feel you were voting, or were you just expressing an opinion? The hairs that'll be split, or continue indeed to be split, in relation to Brexit, never ending. But David, thank you for that. Coming up on 25 to 11,